In Psalm 150, we read, "Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Yes, let's praise the Lord. The Lord for His wonderful love and grace and mercy. The gift that the pastor just read about in a moment ago when he read about the indescribable gift of God, who is none other than the Lord Jesus. None other than the Lord Jesus. See, in chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, we find the Apostle Paul as he is promoting and encouraging giving. Giving. We don't hear a lot of sermons on giving, but Paul didn't hesitate at all to emphasize the importance of giving. And who were they giving to? They were giving to their brothers and sisters who were living in Jerusalem, who were suffering great agony because of the famine that hit Israel. And so the interest was to help those folks who were hurting and in desperate need. They literally were starving. Those living in Jerusalem were desperate. And Paul encouraged purposeful giving. He also encouraged sacrificial giving and joyful giving. Giving with joy. Remember what he said? He said, "Let every man give according as his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, but rather," what? "Joyfully, because the Lord loves a joyful giver. And he closed his appeal with these words. He said, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." His indescribable gift was none other than the Lord Jesus, come down from heaven to us. You see, Paul wanted the people to understand that whatever they gave, it was because of God's goodness to them. And do you know that's true of you and me today? How many of us remember that anything we have is a gift, and it comes from above? It comes from above, and the greatest gift of all is none other than the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And you know, every time you give, and as the pastor emphasized while ago about the international giving to missions, which results in people coming to know Christ, and those people who come to know Christ then rejoice with joy because of what Jesus does for them. It brings glory to God. It brings good to the people, and Christ is known. See, that's the purpose of our giving. And he says in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all." Now, who believes $2,000 is the limit? The pastor doesn't. We don't. We know who is the one who has provided all we need. And remember, He gives it to us so we can do what? Give it away. Did you know that? Did you know that God gives so you can give? Yeah, He says right here in this passage, He says He supplies all we need so that we can help others. You know what I've discovered? I've got everything I need. Everything I need, I have. So anything I have is His, right? To give. to give. Thanksgiving to God for His goodness and mercy truly produces in us a giving heart. A giving heart. Thanksgiving in others as well as we give and share. You know, I think about the folks in the Philippines right now. We haven't heard a lot about that, but you know what? We've got people right now through our International Mission Board that are there. They're studying the situation, the need, and already bringing in supplies. I looked on the website, but I couldn't find the exact dollar amount that has already been funneled to it, but it's happening. And listen, folks, we can give, and we can designate for the people of the Philippines. Not necessarily through the Red Cross, you want to do that, that's fine, but also through our International Mission Board, sharing with them in the Philippines, helping our brothers and sisters who are hurting there. And as we do so, we are expressing our thanksgiving to God for His indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus. His indescribable gift. Now listen, the word indescribable doesn't mean there's no characteristics that can be mentioned. It just means that all of our words fall short. There's no way in the world we can possibly describe the greatness of the Lord Jesus, is there? None at all. None at all. We may attempt it, but we cannot. And listen, just think, who could possibly describe when we read John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Oh, let's change that. For God so loved you, and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise! Should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God gave in love on purpose. Did you know that? On purpose. He said, give purposely. He did, in order that we might be saved. He said, who of us could possibly describe such love that motivated God? Love for you and me, that He would give His own Son. How many of us would give our son to die for somebody else? I don't think I would. You know, most of the heroes that are recognized for their heroic efforts, they didn't plan to do it. It just became an emotional moment at that time. Those who get the Medal of Honor, they'll tell you, they didn't plan this. They did it on the spur. But listen, you hear about premeditated murder, don't we? People who plan to kill others. Well, let me tell you something. God is a God of premeditated mercy. Premeditated mercy. Because long before Jesus died on the cross, He planned for your salvation and mine. Premeditated mercy, prompted by His marvelous love. Greater love, the Bible says. Greater love has no man than this. Jesus said this Himself, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then you know what He called those disciples? And you know what He calls you and me? Friends. Isn't that amazing? Friends. That's God's love. God's love. Willing to lay down His life in order that our sin may be forgiven, that we may be cleansed from every spot and blemish. And He removes our sin. He removes our sin. And here's the amazing thing. He not only removes it, He sends it far away. It says as far as the east is from the west, and then He forgets it. See, that's the amazing thing. God forgets your sin. We don't. And I believe there's a reason we don't. Because it reminds us that we're still sinners and that we are grateful. But God forgets it. Matter of fact, it says He buries it in the deepest sea and remembers it no more. How many of you can say, thank God you don't remember all my mess? Hold up your hand. Go ahead, because I want to tell you some folks, that's wonderful. That's the indescribable part, one of them. How does anybody describe such love that would bring that kind of forgiving and forgetting? Not only has He given us the gift of forgiveness, and He forgives our sin. Oh, listen, He takes away the penalty. You know, we read about folks who are brought to trial. They're convicted of their sin. And some of them are very remorseful. And they seek, and we even hear of parents of children who've been murdered forgiving the person who murdered them. We hear about that. But you know what? Those people still go to jail, don't they? They still go to jail. Why? Because they committed a crime. And even though the parents may have forgiven, they still have to pay the penalty. Well, thank God. Here's the amazing thing. We who have been forgiven by God of our sin and our rebellion have been released from the penalty. How do I know that? Because I read these words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. The weight of our sin, listen folks, is just too much to bear. To have to face the penalty of death and to realize that truly hell is our future. Folks, that's just too much. That's too much. But listen, God has released us from the penalty. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift of forgiveness, the removal of sin's awful consequences. And folks, we know we deserve it, don't we? We deserve. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But it goes on to say that what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all know we deserve death and we're going to die physically. But He said that if we trust Him, and that's the big question for you this morning, are you trusting Jesus? Do you know Him for the forgiveness of your sin? Has your sin been forgiven and removed and the penalty? Can you say that you know Him who promises that there will be no condemnation to you because you trust in Jesus? Trusting Jesus. Listen, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never what? Go ahead, can you say it? They shall never what? Perish. Why? Because my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. And listen, no one is able to grab them or snatch them out of my Father's hand. For my Father is greater than all. I and the Father are one. That's what He says. That's what Jesus said. Listen, eternal life. Life that never ends, even though we know that we're going to one day lay in a box and they're going to put us in the ground and some are going to say that's the end. Listen, it is not the end because we have life eternal through Christ Jesus. And how in the world can we describe it? We who only know time, and that's all we know, right? Time. How could we possibly describe the security that is provided by the all-powerful hand of God? His right hand. His hand, which we've never seen. We look at our hand and we think that's marvelous, and it is. But we've not ever seen God's hand. Listen, our hearts then are filled with thanksgiving as we read the words of the Apostle Peter as he writes to us and tells us, though you have not seen Him, that is, you haven't seen God. And though you do not see Him today, but believe in Him, you rejoice greatly with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Why? Because of God's great love expressed in Jesus. Oh, listen, the gift of God. It's just more than our little old finite minds can comprehend, is it not? And certainly, we are certainly lacking in words that could possibly describe His greatness and His goodness. And then, listen, because we have eternal life, heaven is our home. Heaven is our home. See, this is where Jesus said He was going to prepare a place for us. Remember? He was talking to His disciples. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places." He said, "And I go to prepare a place." Oh, listen. Can you believe this? Just for you. Just for you. And He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." What? Can you grasp a little of it? That God has actually, in the process of preparing a place for you who believe and trust in Christ. Listen. John, as he was there on the Isle of Patmos, on the Lord's Day, it says that God came to him and he got a little vision of heaven. And as he tried to tell us something about heaven, he began to describe it with gates of pearls, foundations of sapphire, emeralds, and other beautiful jewels, of streets of gold and river of life that were crystal clear, no pollution in heaven, no water pollution, no air pollution. And listen to these words that he wrote regarding heaven. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away.'" I just messed that up, didn't I? Well, listen, God doesn't make messes. He just wipes away all our tears. And he said, "There shall no longer be any more deaths." Isn't it going to be amazing? No more funerals. And he says, "There shall be no more mourning or crying or pain. No need for hospitals or doctors, for the first things have all passed away." They're all in the past. Talk about indescribable. Talk about having limited vocabulary. We who are limited by time, surrounded by the circumstances, the troubles, the trials, the sorrows of this world, that at times seem never to end and certainly seem unbearable. How in the world can we begin to describe such a wonderful and glorious place as heaven? As heaven. Listen, we have the gift of eternal life, and we have the gift of the promise of heaven. What a thought. But listen, I think when we think of heaven, we think of eternal life, we're prone to forget something that's vitally very, very important, and that is the presence and the power of God right now with us. With us. But listen, it's even more than that. Jesus said, "I will be in you." In you. You see, that's the great good news. God not only has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, He has sent Him to be in us, in the person of His precious Spirit. Why? So that we may have power to live victorious regardless of the circumstances of life. Death comes, sickness comes, troubles come, but victory also in Jesus. That's the reason we can sing victory in Jesus. Who can describe such things as God, such a thing as God in us? None. However, that and everything we've mentioned and much, much more are the effects of God's indescribable gift, Jesus, in our life. Thanks be to God. But you know, I listen to Billy Graham almost every Saturday night. They're classics on TBN. And he mentions something every invitation. That is, you may go to church, you may be a deacon, you may be a Sunday school teacher. But you may not be a part of the family of God. You see, not everybody who hears about the great gift of God has received it. Jesus said, whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever receives God's gift of Jesus, but as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. And listen to this promise from Romans. He said, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ. That's right. You see, when we accept the wonderful, marvelous gift of God, we become a part of His family. That's the reason we can sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And that's the reason we can sing, Heather, I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And there's just no way in the world we could possibly describe God's amazing love for us. Is there? Can you describe it? No, but we can tell others. That's what Jesus told the man, you know, who was taken over by the demonic spirits. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said to him, no, you go home. Go home to your family and tell them what good things God has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. That's what we can do. That's what we can do. Listen, right now, you who may not be absolutely sure of your relationship to God in Christ, right now today, you can open the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. See, He's knocking. That's what it says. He's knocking at your heart's door. It's up to you to open the door. And if you open the door, Jesus says, I will come in. I will come in. Open the door. And when you open the door and let Jesus come in, you will sing with the Apostle Paul and with millions of others, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, Jesus. Gracious and mighty God, we thank You. We thank You. We praise You. We love You. Now continue to speak to our hearts. Draw us to You.